43:18-21. Isaiah is writing about a new exodus that will take place and has taken place when in 587-586, Jerusalem, because of its evil and because it has done things to the poor of the land, because the priestly aristocracy has been corrupt and has joined hands with the king, who is also corrupt, finally God allows judgment to be visited on Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And in 586 BC, the city of Jerusalem is destroyed. And many Jews are taken east to Babylon, where they languish for a very, very short period of time. God is one who does not let the people languish awfully long. So in 539 BC, Babylon is crushed by a coalition of the of the Medes and the Persians. And so we see that Israel is allowed to come back to their homeland in 539 BC. So in this passage, God is writing about people who need to forget their captivity, forget their pain, forget what the past has done to them, and focus on where they are and where they will be, back in Jerusalem, back where they belong. Hear God's word to us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And let me annotate that by saying that God is saying to them, look, if I provide for wild animals that have no instrumental use for civilization, if I provide for them, I'm also going to provide for you. How much more will I care about you and guide you to where you need to be? And I will give drink to my people, my chosen ones, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Our second reading also comes from Isaiah 65:17. And again, God wants his people who are dispirited and downtrodden to understand that where they were in captivity is no longer where they are, and that God will not only restore hearts and minds, but that in the light of God's great and surpassing love will allow them to experience a new heaven and a new earth. God states, behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things which you experienced will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping, the sound of crying will be heard there no more. This is the word of the Lord. I have a yearly journal. It's a Stephen Covey journal, and it's padded in leather, and it's about 2 inches at least thick, and if I were angry at someone, I could bludgeon that person with this journal, and with good results, I think, or bad results, however you feel about it. It's thick, and what I do with that journal is I write down everything I need to do in the course of a day. That's on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, every evening I write down the things that gave me joy and happiness during the course of the day, what I expect tomorrow, the positive things I expect tomorrow that's going to come. I also write down what God has made me proud of and what I've accomplished. And I also write down what I'm grateful for and the graces that God has given me. And at times, too, I write down what went wrong during the course of the day. And it's interesting, during December, at the end of this month, it was a couple of days ago, I guess, that I decided, as I do every year, to go through the whole journal and everything I've written there, just to begin to understand, you know, where God has led me and the courses of events that have happened in 2015. And it was interesting. This year, like last year, before I decided to start in January and go through December of 2015, I just wrote down quickly all the blessings that God had given me. And I wrote down more than 20, I think it was 21 or 22, and I didn't have to kind of refer back to my journal to find out what those blessings were. They just kind of came like that to me. And it was like a free flow sort of thing. And it was wonderful then to top them up and say, my goodness, there are so many blessings that God has imparted to me in 2015. I'm so pleased with that. And then I thought, okay, let me write down the by memory the negative things that happened during this year. And I couldn't remember a blessed one. I knew they were there. I knew there were some unblessings in my background this year, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember them. So I had to go through my journal from January to December and say, ah, there's something that went wrong. Ah, here's something else that went wrong. And I think of our scriptures when I think of the power of memory and how God, when we stay in faith, reconstructs our memory. Let me read the passages from Isaiah again. God says, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. And then God goes on in Isaiah 65 to say, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered. And I thought of myself, and I think of you too, that it's quite interesting, isn't it, that we can remember the good things far better than we can remember the bad things that have happened to us. This is not to discount the fact that this time of year we often do remember some of the tragedies. I'm often very aware of people who've lost loved ones during this time. I'm often very aware of people who are divorced during this time. I'm very aware that the holidays often bring in that sense of loneliness to people who are living by themselves. The holidays often bring in the idea that I'm hurt, I'm sick, and it's hard for me to do the things I once did, so I don't want to sugarcoat life at all. But when I look at Scripture, I understand that somehow the good outweighs the bad. I understand, as Scripture said, that he who is within me, who gives me joy and hope, is greater than the negativity we find in the world. Truman Capote could look out of his window in Manhattan and say to and write down, the trees are dead. The soot lies in the city. There is no hope. And for Capote, there wasn't. But when I look at the new year, I look back at my past, and all I can see through the grace of God is what are blessings. And even if I can't see that totally and fully, even if I can remember things that happened in 2015 which were not good, by the end of this year, the juice that the bad things had no longer exists. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I remember the bad things more as fact rather than as a painful negative entity which still somehow intrudes and nibbles into my presence. Does that make sense? I can look back and say, yeah, that was bad, that wasn't good, but it loses something in the process of remembering. It becomes a fact. fact or a factoid or something that happened to me, but somehow it doesn't have that emotional, spiritual resonance, that painful resonance which it once had, because my Lord tells me, do not remember the former things. We are given a divine forgetfulness. We are given a mind reconstruction so that we remember the good. And when Isaiah 61, which I didn't read, talks about the coming Messiah is one who will exchange our ashes for garlands. The ashes of bad memories will be blown away, will dissipate, will evaporate, and instead we'll have the sweet fruitfulness and smell of garlands. That's what the Messiah has come to do. And you know, I want to say that there are times when we remember the past, but God always transforms the past into something that's usable and hopeful in the present. So that in the Old Testament, the Exodus happened, which was a very, very painful event in many ways. Wandering around in the wilderness was not present. But then you have the Passover dinner that Jews still celebrate today. And although the past and its pain is remembered in the bitter herbs, I suppose, Passover is a celebration of hope and newness. And we're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. And we remember the crucifixion. We remember that pain and that tragedy. But what we remember more is how it is transformed into hope for all of us. So what we find happening then is that God is a God who reconstructs memory toward what is positive and what is hopeful in our lives. But I want to go a step further. And I want to say something that may be a little shocking, but God allows us and wants us to forget even the good things that have happened this past year. God wants us to stand on the brink of 2016 with our hearts, our minds, our spirits wide open for the new thing that God is going to do in and through us. Do you hear that? In other words, God wants us to be tabula rasa. God wants us to be empty of all expectation. God does not want us to compare 2015 to 2016. God wants us to celebrate, our victories through God, which we've attained in 2015. And then God wants to say, put it away, pack it up. Because nothing, not even the good things, should intrude to the emptiness God wants us to have so that the Spirit comes down in and through us in 2016 to give us something new, something blessed. You know, sometimes we simply settle, don't we? We say, 2015 was good. Let me count my blessings. This, 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 and this. God says, forget your blessings. Forget your blessings, because I am working something new in you that you can't expect, which will be wonderful and beyond your imagining. And that's why I love Ephesians 3:17 so much, that it's a benediction that Paul says in the middle of this wonderful letter. And he says, thanks be to God who will give us all that we can think or imagine. In other words, God will do for us more than we can imagine what God will do for us if we are open to faith and what God has in store for you. So, 2016 is going to be very, very positive. And God does not want us to hold on to the good in 2015, because God's going to make it even better. Boy, there's a silence here, and I'm wondering what you're thinking right now. You know, there's a silence here, but this is, boy, you can stone me at the end of 2016 if you want. But I'm saying to you, and this is scripture, this is the gospel, that God does not want us to hold on to 2015, the blessings of 2015, because that may get in the way. We may start comparing to the greater blessings that we're going to have in 2016. And that's so scriptural. Remember the resurrected Jesus and how he kind of gets out of that grave. God lifts him out of the grave, and there he is in the Gospel of John particularly, although we find evidences of this in Matthew and Luke as well. But remember, Mary of Magdala is at the garden, and she sees the resurrected Jesus, and her tears are changed into joy, and she hugs him, and Jesus says, "Don't hug me. You know, I haven't gone to my heavenly Father first." And what Jesus is essentially saying is, yeah, my resurrection is great, but it's going to get better. Because when I ascend to heaven, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Holy Spirit's going to cause a ruckus. And you people who think, you know, you're just here to hang around Jerusalem, you're going to be scattered through all the parts of the known world, preaching good news to people wherever they need to hear it. So the resurrection is good, but what's coming is better. And that's what I want you to hold on to and believe in, that your 2015 was good, but God has in store for you even better plans. Don't settle even on the blessings of 2015, but look forward to hope, because if we can embrace faith, nothing is impossible with the God who calls you to abundant living. Thanks be to God for our victories. Amen. Oh, let us stand and greet one another this morning.